comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
Place we call Earth. Thank you for being here at the Kevin Smith Show. It is talk radio like nowhere else on Earth. It is the show where you matter. And that's not just a cliche. We mean it. We're here because you have a right to know. And we talk about things that, you know, a lot of times major media doesn't want to talk about. Sometimes we talk about things they did talk about and how they got it wrong, and we'll be doing some of that tonight, as well as covering some new territory. It's going to be an interesting and exciting night. We sent out the K files today. Now, normally we don't send those out until Friday. Normally, Friday is when we send out the K-files, but we sent out the K-files today. And the reason we did that is because the July the 4th weekend is upon us. And it'll actually start, for a lot of people, July the 4th weekend will actually start on Friday. It'll be a long weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday, of course, the holiday. Lots and lots of people will be traveling, and maybe you have some of that planned. Unfortunately, there are some very irresponsible people who will be traveling. Some of them will be traveling under the influence of alcohol or other drugs, making the roadways very dangerous. Some of them will be traveling with a lead foot, driving way too fast, making the roadways dangerous. So be careful out there. If you're planning on traveling for the July the 4th holiday, be careful. Watch out for all those other drivers, the ones that are irresponsible, because they're dangerous. They really are dangerous, and you can get hurt. Also, let me say, for those who are members of the Kevin Smith Show and you are working with trying to watch the show, it's not difficult. You click where it says watch, and you put in your password, your username and password, and then the video password. And if the player on your computer will not open up, if it will not, well, it may open up, but if the video won't start, there's a link right under it. I mean, right there in the player window that says click here if the player doesn't start. So it takes you to an alternative page, okay? We don't know why it does that. It just does. And maybe over this holiday, I will be able to figure that out. On Saturday night it'll be the first Saturday of the month of July. I will be in the chat room. And I hope you'll be in the chat room. You know, we always have a lot of fun in there. Sometimes we have a huge crowd in there. Sometimes we have a handful. You just never know. You never know what it is we will be talking about. None of us really know till we get in there. So join us in the chat room on Saturday night at Showtime. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and tonight we're going to do something that we do every once in a while. That is, I'm going to take a topic, and we're going to talk about it. I've got some pictures to show on our TV channel. I'll describe those photographs for those of you listening via computers, radios, mobile devices. And we're going to be talking about kind of two things at once here. Yeah, I think the thing for me to do is, for those who are watching, let me go ahead and put up a picture. And I'll describe this. It's an aerial photograph. And unfortunately, if you're not watching, you won't be able to participate in this. But because you can't see it right now. But for those of you who are watching, let me ask you, if you have a guess of where this is. When I first saw this, it sort of looks to me like the south end of Phoenix, Arizona. And that mountain range, this is an old aerial photograph. It's black and white. And there's a mountain range that sort of cuts right through the middle of the picture. And that mountain range sort of looks like the South Mountain Range in southern Phoenix, Arizona. And I'm very familiar with that because I used to live right up next to the mountain. And I've climbed on this mountain. I've been all over it. When I first saw this, that's what I thought it was. And I was surprised to find out where that is. It looks like a pretty good sized city. It appears that we're looking on both sides of the mountain because it's an aerial shot, and on both sides of the mountain, it appears that you have, kind of some suburbs. It looks like you got suburbs, we'll say to the north, up towards the top of the picture, suburbs up there. And then down towards the bottom of the picture, that looks like, maybe some suburbs or maybe some kind of industrial district. Where do you think this is? Now, if you have a guess what city that is, I want you to call me, and we'll give you a little chance here to give me a call and tell me what city you think it is. 623-444-5889. Make a guess. I mean, is this in Arizona? Is it Nevada? Maybe it's out in Utah. Where do you think this is? And give it your best guess. Now, if nobody calls, I guess we'll just have to move on. But I want to give you a chance. And if you do call in later when I open the phone lines for you to call and discuss things, you can still call again. That's not a problem. So just go ahead and make your best guess where you think this is, all right? So let's go to the phone line and find out, caller, who is this? What's your first name, and where do you think this is?
My name is Mike, and I think this is on Mars.
You think it's on Mars?
I do.
Well, Mike, it's not on Mars.
Well, it's either on Mars or the moon.
Or you could just keep naming planets, I guess.
Pardon me?
Or you could just keep naming planets. It's either Mars, Moon, Venus, Pluto.
Crosshairs in the camera. It's like,
aerial photographs have those.
Okay, well, that's my guess. One of those two places.
Okay, well, you'll find out in just a minute. Okay, thanks for the call. Okay, anybody else want to call? Come on. Make a guess. What city is this? Come on. 623-444-5889. Don't be a chicken. Pick up your phone and make a guess. Okay. We'll do a countdown here from 5 to 1 if nobody calls by the time somebody just called. All right, caller, your first name, and where do you think this is?
Hi, Kevin. It's Debbie from Columbus. Long time no talk.
Oh, yeah, Debbie. It's been a while.
Yeah, I've been pretty busy. There's just things going on with 2012 and stuff that I'm taking care of here in the neighborhood. Anyway, it sounds to me like it might be maybe Mount Elba, possibly in Sicily, or maybe one of the mountaintops, one of the Apennines in Italy.
Well, that's a good guess, but no cigar, Debbie. That's not where it is. But thanks,
okay,
and
hey,
call back later when we open up the phone lines.
Okay, I will do that.
All right. Bye-bye. Okay, I'll count down from 5 all the way back down to 1 and see if anybody calls. I want you to have a shot at it. You might get it. All right, 5, 4. Oh, there's a call. All right, caller, your first name and where do you think this is?
This is Brent.
Hi, Brent.
The first impression is a wind-swept plain in Montana with a bunch of snow and ice.
Huh. Yeah, it kind of could be that. Sort of looks like it. But no cigar. That's not where it is.
Goodbye.
All right, thanks. Okay. Thanks for everybody that participated, and this does play a key role in what we're going to talk about here tonight. We'll open up the phone lines again later, and we can just all discuss all of this and have a good time with it. Actually, Mike, well, I'll tell you what. Mike said Mars. It wasn't Mars. All right, caller, we're going to take this one last call. Go ahead. Caller, your first name, and where do you think this is?
Hi, Kevin. It's Mike in Montreal. I can't see the picture, but I'm guessing that you're showing Saturn's moon.
Well, you know me pretty well, so you know that, you know, that's the kind of thing I would normally do. But that's not where it is, Mike.
All right, sorry.
All right, thanks. Okay. All right, we'll close the phones now and open them again later. And, boy, it's great to hear from everybody. Okay, let me tell you where this is. Mike was close. He said it's Mars. And I said, no, it's not Mars. He said, well, it's either Mars or the moon. It's the moon. This is a NASA photograph shot by Lunar Orbiter 3, and I've got the frame number up there. If you want to go track it down, you can find it. This looks like an aerial photograph, black and white, which you remember, those of you who are at least, 50 years of age, you remember when black and white was mainly what we had. We didn't have color photographs too often. And it was just black and white. And so aerial photographs look like this. And this looks like the aerial photograph of a fairly large city. As I described earlier, there's a mountain range across the middle of it. And it just kind of the midpoint of the picture from left to right, there's this mountain range. And we're looking on both sides, because it's an aerial photograph, we're looking on both sides of that mountain range, to the, I'll say north, to the top of the picture. That looks like a densely populated suburb. To the south, it looks like some industrial stuff and maybe some densely populated area back towards the lower left. Really looks like a lot of places that we see here on Earth. Now, I want to talk to you about why I had that picture up there and why we're discussing that. Last night on the show, my guest, Gordon Gianninotto, I have to think about it. You know, I always want to say Gianotto, but it's Gianninotto. He was talking with us about the moon, and he told us that in a conversation that he had, in fact several conversations that he had with astronaut Dr. Edgar Mitchell in 2003, that Dr. Mitchell told him that there were alien ruins basically all over the moon. Now, Gordon provided us with some excellent photographs as examples of that, but I went looking to find my own examples of that. I went looking for my own examples of things that look like alien ruins. Whenever we look at photographs, you have to be careful because very often things shot by satellites, especially older satellite photographs like that one, can appear to be something. And then when you zoom in, you find out, well, maybe it's not. And so you have to be kind of careful about that. I zoomed in, and I want to do that for those who are watching, and let me describe. There is an area right next to the mountain, right next to the biggest, tallest part of the mountain that I zoomed in on. Actually, I zoomed in on all this, took a look at all of it, and found some interesting things. I won't belabor the point here tonight. I will just talk about a couple of examples of things that I see in this photograph. So when we zoom in on that area, and you may have to get up close to your screen to see, because even zoomed in, these are still kind of small. This is, after all, a satellite photograph. But right up next to that mountain, there appear to be buildings. And I've put an arrow going right, but the point of that arrow goes right through the door, right to the door, a door, of one of those buildings at ground level. And then back behind it, there are some other structures. But if you look at where the arrow is, that's a door on the left, and to the right of it is another door. Now, that's what it looks like. So I'm asking myself, because, again, these are old photographs, so they're not high definition. Furthermore, they are... I've zoomed in a lot. These are satellite photographs, and I've zoomed in a lot. Things can get pixelated. If I zoom in much more than this, it really does get pixelated. But right here, we can see, for instance, the side of the mountain going, if you look at where I've pointed to structures, to buildings, look right up above that, and you can see the side of the mountain elevating up and beyond and out of the picture. You see that? Okay, well, if you note the characteristics of that texture of that mountain, and we'll go back to what was not zoomed, you can see in the unzoomed picture, we see those same characteristics, very lunar-looking soil or rock on the side of that mountain. Okay, so I zoomed as far as I could go without it starting to go pixely. Okay, and so these are still pretty small, but you can see what appear to be doorways. You can see what appears to be a cluster of buildings back there. And then I've also pointed out a tower. Now, you have to kind of get your eyes adjusted. When you've been looking at those buildings, you have to sort of get your eyes adjusted to see the tower. But the tower, I've got an arrow pointing to the top of it and to the base of it. And this tower is standing there. It appears to be striped. And on just the tower, I did zoom in a little bit more, so that we can see it a little bit better, and there it stands. It's kind of a striped structure standing up into the air. Well, it's not kind of striped, it is striped. It's white at the base, and then there's a black stripe, then a white, area and then a black area, and in the black area there is sort of a rectangular white area. I mean, this thing kind of looks like a lighthouse. It really kind of does. And it's on a base. You can see it's standing on a base, and that base is on a flat platform. Now, is it possible that this is something beside what it appears to be? Yeah, it's possible. Everything's possible. I mean, that could be a grapefruit. Anything's possible. But generally speaking, things are what they appear to be. Generally. Now, as I said, when you're looking at a satellite photograph, especially one that's not high definition and that's old, you look at a big panorama and it looks like a city. Maybe it is. But in order for us to get to any sort of resolution about are these artifacts, are these perhaps alien ruins, you have to pick out some things in the shot and zoom in on them and see, as you zoom in, does it still look like what you thought it looked like? And I have to say, these do, at least to me. Whenever I look at this tower, zoomed in, it looks like a tower to me. It looks to me like a lighthouse. You've seen lighthouses that are striped, you know? That's what this looks like. Do those buildings still look like buildings when we zoom in? To me, they do. In fact, to me, they look even more like buildings as we zoom in, because we can see the dark rectangular openings that look like doorways. Now, that's on the moon. And why does it matter? Oh, I don't know that anything much in the universe matters except us. And I don't mean it in a narcissistic way. I just mean that people matter. And everything else out there it just is. It is what it is. And I'm not sure that it matters a great deal, except what if there are people over there? We'll be back. Kevin Smith Show, and our discussion this evening about the moon. I said as we went to break, I'm not sure that anything really matters a whole lot out in the universe, except, you know, it satisfies our curiosity about things, helps us to understand how, you know, if we do good science, it helps us to understand how certain things in the universe work, or at least get a better understanding of how they work. If there are ancient ruins on the moon, it's interesting. It's very interesting. Makes us wonder who did it. You know, who built those things? And furthermore, how did they come into ruin? Makes us wonder. But it's not going to change the price of coffee in the morning. It's not going to change the price of gasoline, petrol to put in your car. It's not going to change national policies. if we find out there are ruins, if we know there are ruins on the moon, it's not going to have a huge impact in your tennis shoes. Unless what Gordon Gianinotto told us last night, what James Horak has told us, what a number of scientists who have been on this show have told us about there being living extraterrestrials on the moon, living people on the moon. Now, you, if you're new to this genre and you're new to this show, you may be, you know, you may be coughing, sneezing, wheezing, and laughing all at the same time because you think it's so ridiculous to consider it. But actually, if you consider the numerical probability that we are alone in the universe, the probability that we are alone is zero. Statistically, it's zero. And so it certainly then is something that reasonable people should consider. Only the only people who don't consider the possibility that we have neighbors in the universe, the only people that don't consider that are truly, they fall into three categories. One, intellectual mudsuckers. Two, just ignorant of the facts. And three, rank fools. The probability, the numerical probability that we are alone in this universe is zero. So reasonable, rational people have to consider the possibility that we have neighbors. And what if they're right next door? What if the neighbors are on the moon, or at least some of them? Now, we've had top scientists on this show who have said, yes, there are people living on the moon. There are aliens on the moon. There are humans living there. There are a couple of colonies living there. I've had on this show top, I'm talking about ultra top scientists who have said that. Now, I've not been to the moon, so I can't tell you for sure that, there are colonies there. I know there are. I've seen them. I can't tell you that. And I wouldn't pretend to tell you that I know they are there. But what I can do is tell you that we've had really top guests who have told us that they are there. Now, I'm not going to mention names. You go back in the archives, you'll find it. But we've had some guests whose security clearance is really in the stratosphere who have said that, yes, there are, in fact, people living on the moon. People like you and me, and also some extraterrestrial people. So if that's true, then the finding of the ruins leads us to understand that there have been people there. So there possibly could still be people there. Now, what I've been told on the air right here is that we, the United States, I don't know, I can't tell you it's true. I don't know that this is true. But I've been told on the air by a really top scientist that the United States has a colony on the front side of the moon and a colony on the back side of the moon. And then on the back side of the moon, the Russians also have a base. And there are some other nations involved, kind of an international thing going on there with a base on the backside of the moon and extraterrestrial bases on the backside of the moon. Again, I haven't been there. But there's no reason that I can think of why this scientist would have told me that if it were not true. Now, you might say, oh, don't be gullible, Smith. Come on, there are all kinds of disinformation operations going on. That's true. There are. But I didn't hear it just from that scientist. I've heard that from a lot of different people, different sources, down through the years. That scientist happens to be one of those people that I've heard it from. So, if in fact there are people living on the moon, then we have neighbors next door. Now, you remember at the beginning of the show, I said sometimes I take on the major media. You've heard me do it, and when I think they're being ridiculous, I really scorch them. Now, when I think they've done a good job, I say so. Whenever they are reporting on things in our genre, I do comment on it. Well, there is a report, and I know all of you have been hearing about it. You've been seeing it. The report that the scientists have decided now, they've looked at evidence in rocks that were brought back from the moon, and have determined that there is maybe 100 times more water on the moon than they had thought. And there's an article that is floating around out there, and I want to comment on it. And the first thing I want to comment on is it's written by Kenneth Chang. And what I want to say is that for the most part, this article is well written. For the most part, I think he's got his facts straight. There is one fact that he didn't get straight, and I will point it out. But it's called Evidence of Water Beneath Moon's Stony Face. Now, this article reports on this new research that shows that there is a lot of water on the moon. That's not in rivers and lakes, although I've had guests on who have told us that there are rivers and lakes on the moon. Even though I've heard that, and you've heard it right here, you've heard guests talk about it, I have a hard time buying that because I haven't seen photographs that indicate to me that that's the case. Now, on Mars, I've seen photographs where I have to scratch my head and say, well, could be. And I know there are people that think that's nuts, but, you know, I am open-minded about it, and I have seen photographs from Mars that look like water. If it's not water, it's some kind of liquid. Maybe not water, but some kind of liquid. Anyway, I haven't seen things like that from the moon. I haven't seen rivers. I haven't seen lakes or things in photographs that look like it could have water in it. So that's not what they're talking about. They're talking about water that is trapped in the rocks, trapped in the soil. And according to this report, something else. But I want to point out something at the beginning of this, because we have a lot of people that listen to us in India. This article, let me just read the first paragraph. That's fair use, just the first paragraph. First full paragraph. For decades, the prevailing view of the moon was that it was dry. Then 2 years ago, a NASA probe crashed into a deep crater near the moon's south pole and confirmed large amounts of water ice within the shadows. Meanwhile, measurements by an orbiting Indian spacecraft suggested that a veneer of water generated by the bombardment of solar wind and particles, or solar wind particles, covered much of the moon's surface. That's not accurate. What's not accurate about that is it says meanwhile. Makes it sound like that while NASA was doing this great discovery with the La Crosse mission where they crashed a spacecraft into a crater and then sent another spacecraft following it to sniff the vapor that came out of the crater. This makes it sound like while that was going on, meanwhile, the Indian Space Agency discovered that there's a veneer of water all over the moon. That's not the case. That is not the case. The Chandrayaan-1 satellite sent up by the Indian Space Agency, the ISRO, discovered water on the moon, which this reports, but it was not meanwhile. It was first. The first space agency to come out and say, we have data that shows there is water on the moon, was the Indian Space Agency, and that was a year before the La Crosse mission. At least a year before. So that's not a major deal. The essential facts of this story are straight. But I think the Indian Space Agency needs to get a tip of our hat. They did it first. Before NASA, they did it first. Now, in fairness, that spacecraft was carrying 11 science packages. One of those was NASA. There was a NASA package on that spacecraft. And that package, that science package on that spacecraft, was instrumental in helping to detect the water on the moon. But it was the Indian Space Agency that found it. It was not NASA. Okay? It wasn't NASA, and it wasn't meanwhile. Chandrayaan-1 found it first. The Indian Space Agency should get the tip of the hat and the applause. They were first across the finish line. All right, now, the La Crosse mission, about a year after the Chandrayaan-1 satellite, did find a lot of water ice in a crater. But that isn't even what we're going to be talking about. We'll be back.
Beautiful. have hardened on your face, but you still retain the elegance of undiminished grace. Now I fall as I once did, and I am helpless to resist. There is nothing without meaning, without you I can't exist. I can see, yeah I see, all the changes in me. I am not who I used to be. Maybe I should go, yeah I'll go, where the wild rivers flow. To the ends of the earth I'll flee. Baby, I am done here, done here.
Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and we're talking about the moon. Yeah, LaCrosse did find, the LaCrosse mission did find sizable amount, a significant amount of water ice in that crater. That's true. In addition, it found that, in addition to the fact that a year before, Chandrayaan-1 had discovered that there is quite a bit of water all over the moon. As a matter of fact, the Chandrayaan-1 satellite mapped the migration of water on the moon. Now, here's the interesting thing about that. On the Earth, as the moon swings around the Earth, as it orbits the Earth, the moon has a gravitational pull that causes tides in our ocean. Well, the Earth and the sun have gravitational pull on the moon. And they were able to map at various times of the day where there's more water, and then, you know, at morning, and then it moves. It migrates like a tide. Now, we're not talking about rivers, lakes, oceans. We're talking about water that's in the soil and in the rocks. But it migrates kind of like a tidal motion. So it's pretty important what the Indian Space Agency did. And again, congratulations for being first across the water finish line. But now, that's not even where we want to go. Because what this article is reporting on is further discoveries. A new study, new work. Professor Alberto E. Sal. He is professor of geological sciences at Brown University. Handed a vial of moon dirt to a freshman by the name of Thomas Weinreich. He's a freshman at Brown. And Professor Sal asked him to sift through this vial of moon dirt and look for any kind of interesting particles. He did. He went through grain by grain by grain under microscopes looking at them, and what he found was some clear crystals. And in those crystals was contained a tiny amount of glass. Now that tiny amount of glass, he discovered, contained water. It's like each of those little tiny bits of glass were a little, it's like they were a little vial of water, a little microscopic vial of water. they found between 20 and 100 times what had been previously measured in these little glass beads. And they said it's comparable to the water content of some earth magmas. You know what magma is, right? In a volcano, the magma gets heated, and then as it gets heated, it gives off gases, and there are gases building up below it, and eventually it has to go somewhere and it explodes as a volcano. Well, this freshman made a huge discovery, confirmed, of course, by other scientists, and this other discovery, or this new discovery, is that there is about 100 times more water contained in that dirt than what they had thought. Listen to what Professor Sal says. He says, and this is a quote, "There is a reservoir down there in the moon that has the same concentration of water as some reservoirs in the upper mantle of the Earth," end quote. Now, interestingly, you know, the title of tonight's show is "What We Knew, We Do Not Know." You've heard me talk about this a lot. You've heard me, if you've been listening to this show for any length of time, you've heard me say that most of what we think we know is not knowledge. It's a belief. It's a hypothesis. It's a speculation. And people latch on to it, and then they start saying, well, we know that, and then they say something. For instance, up until August 2010, there was this rocky debate. From 2008 until 2010, this kind of roller coaster debate about water on the moon. Because the astronauts did bring back Harrison Schmitt, who's a geologist, brought back some samples. These little glass beads are part of those samples. And so they thought, okay, well, there's got to be water on the moon because this is the kind of structure we see when there's been water on the moon and blah, blah, blah. Okay. Or when there's been water geologically. Okay. So this kind of roller coaster debate. And then August of 2010, there was a study that came out. And that study, led by Zachary D. Sharp of the University of New Mexico, concluded that the moon is bone dry. It's way drier than the Earth. So here we have a university and a bunch of professors and scientists who in 2010 came to the conclusion that the moon is bone dry. Now here we are in 2011, not quite a year later. We're 2 months shy of a year. So 10 months after that study, here comes a study out of Brown University led by Professor Alberto E. Sal. And it says there is a lot of water on the moon, and in fact, he says there is, and I quote again, quote, "There is a reservoir down there in the moon that has the same concentration of water as some reservoirs in the upper mantle of the Earth," end quote. That's Dr. Sal. The point is, what we think we know, we don't. When we're talking about things and we say, well, you know, we know that the moon is dry as a bone. No, we don't. We don't know that. And somebody says, well, we know that there's a lot of water on the moon. No, we don't. We don't know that. Here's what we know. What we do know is one scientific study at one university concluded the moon is dry as a bone. Another scientific study at another university concluded there's a lot of water on the moon. That's what we know. And I think this is more important than are there extraterrestrials on the moon. I think it's more important for us to come to an understanding of the fact that a whole lot of what people are saying they know, they don't. They can't. Until you go to the moon and you dig some wells and come up dry, or you come up with water, how are you going to know? You don't know. All we do know is that what we thought we knew, we don't know. That's why it's so important for us to have a space program. That's why it's so important for us to have a real, genuine space program. Not a scam, not a space program that lies to us, but a real, honest, genuine, scientific space program. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. Just one or two more points, and then we're going to open the phone lines because I'd like to get some feedback from you about all of this. I said as we went to break that, you know, we've got lots of people running around saying, oh, I know this, or, you know, we know this, when in fact we don't know much of anything. We believe a lot. And we believe it so strongly that we assign the word know to the belief. But the fact is, we don't know. We don't know much at all. Until 1995, we knew there were no solar systems out there with planets around them. We knew this. It was taught in all the science classes. It was taught in schools. We knew this to be the truth, you see. And then in 1995, the first extrasolar planet, that means it's not in our solar system, was discovered. Since then, we now have somewhere in the neighborhood of, we had 500 that we knew about, and then the Kepler telescope has discovered another 1,200 more. So we've got actually 1,237. So we've got somewhere in the neighborhood of around 1,737 planets out there that we now know about. But until 1995, we knew they weren't there. Most of what we say we know, we don't. We wish we did. We would be more comfortable if we knew. But most of what we say we know is really just speculation and belief, and we've latched onto it so tightly that we start calling it knowledge. People earn PhDs over this knowledge. You've heard me say, even the laws of physics are not laws of physics. They're just not. There are no laws of physics as far as humans are concerned. Because all those things are that we call the laws of physics are just descriptions of our current understanding of how it works. I'm not saying that you have to throw those out. No, you have to use them because that's the best understanding that you have. But you must understand that just like Einstein came along and stepped right over the laws of physics as described by Newton, just like he stepped right over those, and now, you know, everybody laughed at him, everybody ridiculed him. He was nothing but a clerk in a patent office. What would he know? And now everybody bows to Einstein as if he's a god in the world of science because he was right. Just like that, some smart people are going to come along and step right over these other so-called laws of physics, and we're going to have a whole new understanding of how it works, and then the universe is going to change. Actually, it won't, but we'll think it does because our perception of it will change. And I said, as we went to break, this is why we need a viable, vibrant, healthy, well-funded, aggressive, scientific science program for space. And you may say, well, we've got NASA. Well, they miss that description by a long shot, or as they say in the UK, by a long chalk. They do some things pretty well. They do other things pretty lousy. Now, I hold in my hands here another article, and this one is about the other space program. I'm not going to go through all of this, but I found it interesting. It's talking about the military space program as opposed to NASA. And it says NASA is a civilian agency. No, it isn't. NASA is under the Department of Defense. It is the public face of space for civilians to look at. That's what NASA is, but it is Department of Defense. However, there is also truly a secret space program. It's the military space program. They launch far more things into space than NASA does. We don't know most of those. We have no idea what they're doing, because they're classified, they're secret. They've got far more stuff in space than NASA. And it's quite possible they've done a great deal more actual space exploration than NASA. That's a possibility. Their budget is, the public side of their budget is $8.7 million for the coming year. But then there's the secret budget, the stuff for all their secret programs. That's not a published budget. And so it is estimated that their budget in the military space program equals or exceeds NASA. And most of the speculation is on the side of it exceeds NASA's space budget. So something's going on out there. I, from the things that get published about, you know, what they're doing out in space, the military, it appears that not only us, but possibly the Chinese, the Russians, and maybe some others are weaponizing space. That's not smart, but that's how we do things. We don't do things that are very smart. So there is the secret space program, and then there's NASA. Okay, some people say we don't need NASA because the secret space program is already so far ahead. Well, here's my problem with that. The secret space program may be so far ahead and may not be. We don't know because it's a secret. We hear rumors, but we don't know. And it comes back to what this show is about tonight. We don't know. But do you know what the study of how do you know that you know that you know? You know what that's called? It's called epistemology. And epistemologically speaking, we're zip. We speculate that that space program that the military has, we speculate that that is way ahead of NASA. But we don't know that. We speculate, but we don't know. The reason I speak in favor of NASA, although I scorch NASA when I think they need to be scorched. But the reason I speak in favor of NASA is they are the public face of space for civilians. If you do away with NASA, do you really think the military is going to tell you when they make some big discovery? If it had been the military that discovered there was water on the moon, which they probably did, I mean, they probably have known it for a while. But if it was just them and there was no NASA, do you think you and I would have ever heard that there was water on the moon? They would have classified that. National security. You don't think they would? Well, have you heard of the Clementine mission? Over 1 million photographs taken, classified. It was a military mission to the moon. Classified. Classified. You think they would have told you they found water? Not a chance. We need NASA or something like it to be the public face of space because, you know, we're only getting little microscopic little drips of information. But without them, we don't even get that. Now, what I'd like to do, I'm going to open the telephone lines, and what I would like to do is get your feedback on a couple of questions. I really want to know what you think about this. We've had Gordon Gianinotto has been on twice this week, and he's talked about some heavy stuff, but he's talked about, you know, extraterrestrials living on the moon in large numbers. All different species of them living on the moon in large numbers, and that there are ruins on the moon, and that Edgar Mitchell admitted it to him that there are alien ruins on the moon. So here's the deal. You've heard that also. You've heard similar things from James Horak. You've heard similar things from other guests that have been on the show. I'd like to get your feedback on that. What do you think? Do you think that it's really possible, and is it really true, that there are aliens alive and living, functioning, on the moon? Now, one of the things that... let me give you the phone number. 623-444-5889. Again, 623-444-5889. Now, one of the things that would be necessary for any humanoid-type aliens living on the moon would be water, wouldn't it? Up until this study came out that we talked about tonight, the one with Brown University and Dr. Saal, that's S-A-A-L, up until that study... the prevailing opinion was the moon is bone dry. Well, of course, then that would preclude humanoid life on the moon. You got to have water. If it's life that's anything like us, it's got to have water. So, you know, a lot of people use that to scoff and say, oh, that's nuts. There can't be any people living up there. There's not any water up there. Okay, now we have a study that says, yes, there is. And in fact, let me read for you again what Dr. Saal says. There is a reservoir down there in the moon that has the same concentration of water as some of the reservoirs in the upper mantle of the Earth. Close quote. So what do you think? I mean, honestly, you listen to this show every night. You hear these guests. You hear me ask them questions. And, you know, you come to some sort of conclusions yourself as to what you think about that. What do you think about it? Do you think that there really are extraterrestrials living on the moon, maybe some humans from Earth living on the moon. Do you think that's even possible? As I have shown you here with these two studies, one study said 10 months ago, it's dry as a bone. The other study said, just now, yeah, there's a lot of water up there. So what do you think? Do you think there are extraterrestrials alive and kicking on the moon? Another thing that I would like to know what you think is, what do you think we should do with NASA? Should it be closed down? Should it be closed down and replaced with something newer, better? What do you think about that? All right, to the telephone. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. It's Debbie from Columbus again.
Hi, Debbie.
I just wanted to tell you that I've always believed and known that there have been bases on the moon. There's, you know, lots of speculation going around as to, you know, even in the metaphysical community, in the UFO communities for that matter, that communities have existed or don't exist. So, at least for myself, I really believe that they do exist. I mean, it's very arrogant for humanity to just think, well, you know, we're the only intelligent life forms here in the universe, and, you know, we're not capable enough space-wise to be able to go to the moon and have bases on there. But I know for a fact that we... what is presented to us by NASA and the media and the government, for that matter, is not necessarily true. I mean, there's all kinds of different programs going on that have the capability of having these types of vehicles manufactured for flight and also being able to go to the moon and, for that matter, probably to Mars and Venus and even beyond.
Okay, now... Early in your statement, you said, I have always believed and known that there are bases on the moon. How do you know?
Well, I think a lot of it has to do with, you know, my metaphysical abilities, and that's just how it is. I mean, I've always known. It's been a it's kind of hard to explain, but it's just been something that I've always known.
Have you always known or have you always believed?
Both?
Yes. Okay. Okay, well, you know, I have to stick with what I said. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I do know that we have two studies that oppose each other. Therefore, it proves what they're telling us about the moon is something they don't know.
Exactly.
Okay. So we have one study that says the moon is dry as a bone. The other one says there's a reservoir down there in the moon.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So when we put them side by side, what we're looking at is proof that the experts don't know. And that blows the doors of possibility wide open.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, it would be just kind of arrogant on our part, even... if the experts don't know, to just assume that Earth is the only planet that has water on it. We do have visible water, but we also have water below the surface, you know, and aquifers and underground rivers and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So what's not to say that the moon, even though there's no water visible on the surface, that the moon may not have but does have water underneath the surface?
Well, I think what we would have to say is there's no water on the surface visible in any of the photographs that we've been shown.
True.
There may, and see, the when you put these two studies side by side, 10 months apart, one says it's dry as a bone, the other one says there's a reservoir that's at least equal in concentration to reservoirs in the upper mantle of the Earth. Okay? So the, you put those side by side, they cancel each other out, and what it tells us is when it really comes down to it, we don't know. And that blows the doors of possibility wide open. And because of that, then, I can say, well, then it's possible there could be liquid water on in lakes and rivers on the moon that we just never have been shown the photographs.
Right, but let's take it a step further, Kevin. What's not to say that the photographs that we have been shown that shows no type of liquid on the moon, water, bodies of water, have not been touched, like photoshopped and stuff, because this has happened before when NASA has done that with UFOs, you know, in the atmosphere and things like that.
Well, that's true. They have. You're right. It could be.
I mean, I'm not, like yourself, I'm just using that as a supposition. But myself, I really do believe that there is water. Whether it is visible or not, I don't know. It's kind of hard to say. I mean, if I had a really good, powerful telescope and was looking at the moon, I could probably say, well, yeah, there is evidence of water on the moon. But I don't have a telescope. So, again, the speculation is, if we have water here on, you know, Earth, then why is there not a possibility of water being able to exist on the moon, especially if those bases are there, which I believe they are. They would have to have, if it is humanity, humans living there, then we do need water. I mean, we need water more than we need to eat. We can live about maybe 3 to 4 months without food, but we cannot live more than maybe a week or two without water.
Yeah.
So if there are bases on the moon and they are have human occupants on them, there has to be some form of water available.
Well, yeah. And, you know, there's an interesting thing, too. Clouds have been observed on the moon by astronomers. You know, they say there's almost no atmosphere there. Well, you know, if there's no atmosphere, there would be no clouds. If you have clouds, you have atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But going back to one of the shows that you did, I think earlier this year or last year, about Mars and how we were shown that Mars has no atmosphere. But the pictures you put on up on the website showed a blue sky.
Yeah. Yeah, and so the reason it's blue is because of the types of gases that are in the atmosphere. That's what colors, that's what makes the light show that color for the sky. So its atmospheric composition is much like ours.
Exactly, exactly. So if that's the case, and we have clouds here, which is just, you know, condensed water vapor, what's not to say that there are not those almost similar type of clouds on the moon and on Mars?
Yeah, well, you know, clouds have been photographed on Mars, and that's not too much of a surprise because they have let those photographs out. But the clouds on the moon, that is a fact, and it's NASA actually published that fact, that it has been observed on the moon. But you and I have not seen pictures of it.
I haven't seen those. Do they look like they're water vapor, like, you know, our type of clouds? Or
haven't seen the pictures of it. They didn't release pictures of it. They just published the fact. Yeah.
That's interesting.
Debbie, I got to run. I want to thank you for the call. Good to hear you again.
Okay, it was good talking again, my friend.
All right. All right, 623-444-5889. What do you think about this? I mean, maybe, especially if you're new to the show, you may have suspected that I would just jump off on this and say, well, of course there's bases. Of course there's extraterrestrials living on the moon. Because as host of a show that deals with these kind of things, if you're not used to this show, you're used to a lot of other hosts who have an axe to grind and have an agenda to push. I don't have an axe to grind. I don't have an agenda to push. And, you know, I'm open-minded about it. I will tell you that I think the only reasonable, rational approach to this is to say it's at least possible. And, you know, we do see things in photographs that look very much like some kind of ruins. And if they are, somebody built them. So at some time, someone was there. So I'm very open-minded about it. But in terms of, are there extraterrestrials on the moon now? I'm open-minded about it, but I can't tell you that I know. I want to know what you think about it, and we'll get more of your thoughts on the other side of this break. Don't go away.
Kevin Smith Show, and my IQ jumped 20 points.
All right, welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. The telephone line is open, 623-444-5889. And, by the way, I didn't mention it, but any time the telephone line is open, the flash option is there for people who are not in the USA and not in Canada. So if you're not in the USA and you're not in Canada, you can call that number and we'd be glad to hear from you. And we've heard from people various places around the world. But also, if you don't want to make the international long-distance call, you can do something else, and that is the flash message option. Just go to the website, scroll down, you'll see the picture about tonight's show, and right above it is the link that says flash message, okay? To the telephone caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show, your first name, and where are you calling from?
Kevin, this is Brent from Wyoming, and you poor innocent child, you got Debbie and me twice in one night.
How about that? That's all right. I said you could do that.
Yeah, I know. My opinion of the studies and NASA and all that stuff, let me put it this way. I have a conscience, and the way I look at things is if I say something is fact and I'm wrong, and I find out after I'm dead that I'm wrong, I couldn't live with myself. And I don't see how these people who preach this and that and the other thing can live with themselves, because they don't know that they're right. The most I can say about anything is I don't know.
You know what?
Study it and find
out. I agree with you, and I think if NASA were to come out and say what I just said, and that is we have a study that says the moon is bone dry, we've got one that says there's a reservoir down there, and that there's a lot of water, significant water on the moon. And, you know, both of these studies were scientific. Both of these studies were, you know, well-qualified scientists that did it. One says one thing, one says the other. And we here at NASA have to say, you know what, we don't know. We need to go see. We need to go discover. If they were to do that, I'll tell you something. They would redeem themselves a great deal in public opinion.
Okay. I agree.
Just by saying, you know what, we don't know. We've got to go see. That would go a long way towards redeeming their fairly recently tarnished reputation for monkeying with the truth.
recent? Let's go back to the 70s.
Oh, it's been going on a long time, but I'm saying fairly recently they've been caught monkeying with the truth. This would go a long way toward erasing some of the bad reputation there.
It might improve their reputation, I agree. But as to what should happen to NASA, in my opinion, they've got to come out and be honest. That's the only way they're going to save it. And anything else, even if they try to revamp it under a different name, they've got to be honest. Otherwise, it's just not going to work, not going to fly.
They're not flying now. They've got one more space mission, one more shuttle mission, and they're not going to be flying after that.
This is true.
Yeah. All right. Well, do you think we ought to close NASA?
I would like to give the public access to what. I know the military is very stingy with their information, and NASA's not getting even one-tenth of the truth. But I would like to at least have some access to it. So I think just clean up their reputation, be honest with the people. That would go a long way towards redeeming themselves.
Yeah, let me throw this at you and see what you think about it.
Okay.
What NASA says very often can be disproven with their own evidence. You can take the evidence that they release, the photographs and the data, you can take that and blow them out of the saddle with what they've said, okay? Now, that's frustrating. And, you know, I'm not sure, but I think it was Richard Hoagland that first said that NASA stands for never a straight answer.
Yeah.
Okay, for the sake of argument, I'm going to say, okay, I'll buy that. But even if they don't give you a straight answer, they are releasing the evidence, some of it. And if, you know, what I argue is if NASA goes away, we're not even going to get that.
That's right. So, like I said, I'd like to have some access to the information.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, Brent, thanks for the call.
Yep.
All right. Yeah, what do you think about it all? 623-444-5889. You know, we should not be in this position. You and I, we should not be in this position. We should be in a position of being able to just take NASA at their word. But we're really not in that position. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yeah, it's Mike again from Kentucky.
Hello, Mike.
You know, I disagree with this idea of trusting NASA to do anything because they've always been a military-oriented organization rather than a civilian. They just take our money and throw away the way they want to. But I compare them to teaching a double amputee how to play football, how to run and throw. So I don't think there's any hope. I think the only hope we have is in the private sector. And once they're out of the way totally, then there's nothing but the government that stands in the way of the private sector.
You mean the private sector like BP and the oil thing down there in the Gulf?
No.
That's private sector.
I'm talking about these groups that are developing a space plane, and they're building these reusable rockets that will take off and then come back down and land vertically the way they took off. They're doing that in Texas and other places down there in the Southwest. And those groups are the ones that are the future for us. Not
there's
NASA. NASA's a piece of junk. It always has been, in my opinion.
Well, I disagree that NASA is a piece of junk. I think it's tarnished, but I think it has some hope. But, you know, in the early days of the oil industry, there was no oil industry. There were wildcatters. And they just went out and punched a hole in the ground and hoped they got some oil. And sometimes they did, and they became rich. And from that, we got the oil industry, which is now controlled by the super rich and super elite.
Right.
Right now in space, in the private sector, we have wildcatters. But you can bet your bottom dollar it'll be owned by the super rich and super elite once the wildcat days are over.
Well, we already have people in that are super rich. They're, as you know, are talking putting space hotels and running ferries between the Earth and the space hotels, Bigelow and that group.
Yeah.
And, hey, let them go at it. Get NASA out of the way and let them go at it.
Yeah, but see, that's not space exploration, Mike.
Well, you know, once you get the hotel up there, it's just a little short trip over to the moon. And then once you set up a base on the moon, then you can launch for the planets from there.
You think they will do exploration or exploitation?
I think they'll do both.
Mm-hmm.
You know, right now, the people of Earth have been putting up with and paying the bills to NASA since the late 50s. 58 when NASA was established. Somewhere in there.
Mm-hmm.
And they've been paying the bills all these years. They griped about it, and but after they started to see some payback in the technology that we use, then they quit griping quite so much. But we still, we've invested a dollar, and we got 10 cents worth back, all we've gotten out of each dollar.
Well, I see that. I understand what you're saying, and believe me, I know where you're coming from with that. I see it a little different than that, but... you're not alone. There are lots of people that feel like you feel about it. I don't think that NASA is what it ought to be, and I don't think it's ever been what it should have been. And the idea that it's civilian is fiction.
Exactly.
But we do at least get a few little microscopic drips of information out of them, in the form of photographs and film and some data, and you know, they try to, it's true, they try to cover up a lot of stuff. There's no question about that. Absolutely no question. They have airbrushed pictures by the ton. That's true. But they didn't get everything.
Well, let's say it this way. NASA is the Steven Spielberg of entertainment about space.
Do you think that the military would turn loose of information and photographs and data even as much as NASA does?
Definitely not, because they're controlled by the industrial complex in this country that's out for profit, and they are probably doing space exploration, running secret space programs, which we've heard alluded to, and they are probably exploring, but that's strictly a military machine. They're not going to share it with the people.
But you think private industry would?
I think they would, because I think that they will get the people involved. I think they'll create a lot more jobs, and the people within the within the industry will then start training and maybe taking advantage of the opportunity.
Okay. Well, you might be right, Mike. You might be right.
Well, I encourage all young people in school to not to study the sciences of the Earth anymore, but to look toward the stars and apply their education to a science that will get them out there, because they are our future and our hope.
All right, Mike. I appreciate your thoughts on that. Thanks for calling. All right. Well, there you go. What do you think about it? There are very few places where you can say what you think anymore, but you can here. 623-444-5889. 623-444-5889. we are in a position of simply not knowing things we ought to know. If we look, think of how ludicrous this is. Here we are, right next door to the moon. I mean, this thing's in our backyard. It's not next door. It's sitting right here in our backyard. And we don't know whether there's water there or not. We have some scientists that say there is a lot of water, and some scientists that say it's dry as a bone. We don't know. And we cut out going back to the moon. Oh, well. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. Let me get this adjusted right. There we go. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. What do you think about all of this? This stuff with the moon and with NASA. Let's go to the telephone line and caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin, this is Jerome from Pennsylvania.
Hello, Jerome.
I missed most of the show, but I just caught the last part of it. Last night you had that Gordon Giannotto.
Gianni Noto.
Yes, thank you. And I was wondering if when this Planet X goes by, or in the past 3,500 years ago, has there ever been any shifting on the moon? You know how the moon always faces us? Now, I know there's that tectonic plates on the Earth, but I was just wondering if the apparent, you know, side of the moon has ever changed.
Now, that's an excellent question, and it's not a question that I have an answer to. Well, I do. My answer is I don't know. That's a great question. I don't know that I've ever heard that question asked. I certainly had not thought of it. But you know something? Until we go there and actually do some geological work there, I don't know that we could determine if it has ever shifted. But, you know, if it's big enough to shift the Earth, you would think it has to have some effect on the moon.
That would be my thought process. And then if it did affect, you know, if whatever was on the backside, if there are ETs right there, or even, you know, terrestrial moon bases, they would possibly be exposed to whatever side is facing the Earth.
Well, you know, let's assume for a moment that what Gordon Giannotto told us is true. And I have no reason to think it's not true. He had a conversation with Edgar Mitchell in 2003. Edgar Mitchell said to him, according to Gordon, that there are extraterrestrial ruins, alien ruins, all over the moon. Let's just assume that's a fact, okay? Now, if it's a fact, is it possible that the reason there are ruins is because of the passage of this Planet X?
You know, like you said, if it would cause such massive damage on the Earth, I would think so that it would be the same thing on the moon.
Yeah, you would think. You would think there would have to be, you know, if it has caused destruction and ruins on the Earth, perhaps it also did on the moon, and maybe that's why we see ruins as opposed to thriving civilizations. I mean, if we assume that Edgar Mitchell said that and assume that it's true, then somehow those once thriving colonies or cities on the moon became ruins. How did that happen? So maybe your idea there is spot on, as they say. Maybe it is.
Well, thank you very much, Kevin.
All right, thanks for the call. We still have time for another call. We have a flash message as well. 623-444-5889. Warren in Switzerland writes, there are videos of moon buildings, ruins, and astronauts are seen walking in them. The structure looked ancient with the roof gone. There's also moon pictures with airbrushings of tall, narrow structures. Seems like proof to me. Well, I agree, the pictures of the air, you know, that have been airbrushed, that's pretty solid evidence. The video, though, of the astronauts walking through that building on the moon, I've got real serious doubts about the veracity of that video. And the reason is because of the camera movement. The cameras that they had at that time were mounted to their chest. And even if they hold the camera as you walk, we ought to see camera movement, and we don't. The camera it's smooth movement, and there are even places where the camera does a sweep move where it turns like this and photographs what's behind it as it moves away. That's the sort of thing you do with a camera on a movement boom. And you can do it electronically or digitally. By that I mean there are programs, software, where you can do that. So you don't have to have an actual camera moving through a building like that. So because of the camera movement, I've got serious doubts about that video. But you are right when you say there are pictures of the moon with airbrushing of tall, narrow structures. That's true. Massive structures have been airbrushed out. They didn't do a very good job. In some cases, you can see the edge of the structures. And so they're there. It's not just an artifact of some kind of weird compression of the picture coming back electronically and so forth. No, no, no. Those were airbrushed. They were smudged on purpose. And it's quite obvious that they were. So, I think that's strong evidence, Warren. I certainly do. 623-444-5889, if you call right now. If you call a minute from now, I won't have the time to take your call. The purpose of the show tonight is not to prove to you that there are aliens on the moon, although I suspect there are. I will tell you that the possibility has been blown wide open by these two opposing studies at universities. Within 10 months of each other, two opposing studies about the water on the moon blows the possibilities wide open, because what that says is we don't know. We don't understand the moon. That's what it says. We don't know. Okay, well, if we don't know, then the possibilities are wide open. Right? So, what this show is about is not to prove that there are extraterrestrials living, breathing, functioning on the moon. That's not the purpose. Although we've used that as a line of inquiry. The purpose is for us to understand that here's a real live living example, and a big example, and an important example of the fact that much of what we say we know, we don't know. And, you know, we need to come off of that. We really do, as a culture, as a society, as a species, we need to get off of that stuff about I know this to be a fact. if we don't know it. If what we're saying is, you know, if we really we believe it strongly, then that's what we ought to say. I strongly believe this to be true. Okay, that's fine, and that's accurate. I mean, if you strongly believe it, you strongly believe it. But when we say, I know this is true, the question is, how do you know? And we've seen a really good example tonight, a really clear example of what we think we know, we don't know. That universe out there, well, it's huge. It's huge, and because there's no scientific explanation for most of it, that makes most of it paranormal. And that's why we're here. My friends call me Steel Eye, my enemies do too. You can call me whatever you want. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.